See everyone here tonight? Amen. You ready for the Word of God? Yeah, you know, this is a very, very needed message that we're going to share here tonight, kind of going a little bit of a different direction than we've been the last few weeks. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And if you received the text message here this afternoon, you already know the title of this message. But it is Marriage, Children, and How to Stay on Fire for God. Amen. Marriage, Children, and How to Stay on Fire for God. Or literally you could call it How to Manage Your Home Life and Still Be Faithful and Desirous for the Things of God. Amen. How many of you know? We have several married folks in here tonight. You know that managing the home life, especially if you have kids in the home, you know, to do all the things that it requires to be a good parent, to do all the things that it requires to be a good spouse. How many of you know there's a lot of potential for distraction or potential for things to, you know, pull us away from losing our zeal for the things of God? All right. And we're going to talk about that here tonight, how to manage your home life so you can keep your zeal for God, how you can stay faithful and still be a wonderful spouse, amen, and just a wonderful parent, praise the Lord. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to be over starting there in verse 32. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible again here tonight. We will have that on the screen. And we're going to just jump right into this. I'll tell you what, if you don't manage your home life well, right? If you don't, you know, get very proficient in the things of the home, it's going to take you to places you don't want to go, right? And we just ask ourselves this question, what happens if we neglect our home life? Well, we said this before several weeks ago, right? Bad things, man, right? Bad things happen when our home life gets neglected or if we mismanage it or if we're not skillful with it. And so we're going to talk about being skillful in the home here tonight. How many married folks do we have here tonight? Oh, yeah. See, most of us, praise God, we have folks that one day will be married or were married and so on. And so this pertains to all of us. And also, too, whenever you get into these kinds of principles, they pertain to us no matter where we are at in life. Amen. They're always, you know, pertinent to what we're doing in this life. Amen. Glory to God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to start in verse 32. And I'll tell you what, this is a very interesting chapter of Scripture. And I'll tell you, the second half of this chapter is really misunderstood. I'll tell you what, many times, you know, people misunderstand, and I understand why people misunderstand it, because it can come across very confusing. And so I'm just going to do us all a favor here tonight, and I'm going to read the confusing verses, right? But we're going to clarify them. Amen. And we're going to start in verse 32. We're going to read down to verse 35. I'm in the Amplified Bible. If you want to go ahead and follow along, your Bible will sound very similar. But again, we just love how the Amplified brings this stuff out. All right, Paul here, he's talking about marriage specifically. And he says this, he says, "My desire is to have you free from all anxiety and distressing care. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly matters, how he may please his wife." And so right there we see a difference. The scripture is saying some different things about an unmarried person versus a married person. And you're going to see it works both ways for a husband or a wife. In verse 34, it says, "He, the married man, is drawn in diverging directions. His interests are divided, and he is distracted from his devotion to God. And the unmarried woman or girl is concerned and anxious about the matters of the Lord, how to be wholly separated and set apart in body and spirit. But the married woman has her cares centered in earthly affairs, how she may please her husband. Now I say this for your own welfare and profit, not to put a halter of restraint upon you, but to promote what is seemly and in good order, and to secure your undistracted and undivided devotion to the Lord. Oh, wow. Boy, it's interesting when you read these verses, it almost sounds like being married is a bad thing. It almost sounds like, boy, you know, life would just be much better if you were just not married. And therefore you could just be, you know, devoted to the Lord full time. And, you know, you could read these verses and take them out of context, and all of a sudden it just makes it sound like, well, no Christian should ever get married. And we all should just, you know, be single and wait until the rapture. And I guess there would be no Christian families, no Christian babies. You know, oh, I know, I guess it would just sounds like life would all just be a lot better if no Christian ever got married, right? Well, that's obviously not his point. Verse 35 starts to really dig into the intentions of these scriptures. And here in a little bit, I'm going to also share some things that you might not know about chapter 7. But in verse 35, again, I'm going to read it. He says, I say this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote which is seemly and in good order, to secure your undistracted and undivided devotion to the Lord. Here is what Paul is ultimately getting at. He's talking about making sure we are not distracted or divided in our relationship with the Lord. All right? That is the purpose of the passage, okay? He is not saying that marriage is bad. He's not trying to say anything at this moment about marriage is good or bad. He is simply just laying down some facts about marriage versus not being married, all right? And here, if you didn't, you know, pick up on these, I'm going to give you just some simple facts real quick that we pick up from this passage of scripture, all right? And everyone who's married and people that desire to be or have been, you're going to realize that these truths are certain, all right? It is absolutely the truth. Look at what he says there. Go back up there to verse 33. He says, but the married man is anxious about worldly matters, how he may please his wife. Actually, I meant to go up to verse 32. He says, my desire is to have you free from all anxiety and distressing care. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He said, if you're married, you're then going to have to make sure that you please your wife. All right. So the very first fact that we see from this passage of scripture is that married people are given a responsibility to seek the pleasing of their spouse. That's just a fact that's given in this passage. That if you're married, you have a responsibility. You're going to have to take the time, you're going to have to take the effort, and you need to make sure that your spouse is happy. Now that is, again, that's not a bad thing. That's just a fact of being married, all right? How many of you know Paul is implying here that this is a pretty serious task, right? He is making it sound like it is a miraculous feat to make sure to keep your spouse pleased all the days of their life, right? It's a task. It's a job for life. He's telling us to do this, right? Married people have to seek to please their spouses. Paul is implying that this is a major undertaking. And if the Holy Ghost is giving us the idea that keeping our spouse happy for life is a tough thing to do, then, of course, if the Holy Ghost says it's hard to do, we know it's hard to do. I'm just joking around. Some of you need to wake up a little bit here tonight. Or I just need to be funnier. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But we have to, the Bible says, we have to keep our spouse happy. And that's part of being married. Also, we get another fact from this passage. Home life, meaning marriage, and of course children are implied. Home life pulls you in diverging directions. Did you see that down there in verse 34? He, the married person, is drawn in diverging directions. I love how the Amplified says that. diverging directions. All right. That means, you know, there's a lot of different things pulling on our attention when we are married with kids in the home. There's going to be a lot of things trying to pique our interest, trying to pull us this way, that way, diverging directions and managing, you know, all the things that kids do, you know, keeping track with your job, you know, managing the home. How many of you know there's a lot of directions in the home? Anyone here tonight? Praise the Lord. Would you say that these things are obvious truths that the Bible is making mention about our home life? Amen. Praise the Lord. It means that we're going to have to manage marriage, kids, job. We're going to try to, you know, as parents in the home, we're trying to keep everybody godly with a smile on their face at the same time. We're trying to keep everybody godly with a smile on their face at the same time, right? We do. We want our families to enjoy their lives and spend time together and all these things. But there's diverging directions. There's interests of everybody. Everybody, you know, wanting to go a different way, wanting to do different things and activities. Praise the Lord. Also, it says this, all the directions and distractions that arise from the home life can divide and distract from the zeal of God. Now, Paul is making it very clear. He said, you know, all these diverging interests, all these, you know, different directions that we can take, they can absolutely divide and distract from our zeal for God. Meaning that distractions in the home are always trying to work against us being zealous and fully devoted to God. Isn't it very interesting? That the very blessings of marriage and children, if we're not careful, the enemy will try to take those things, use them against us, and all of a sudden use those things to steal our joy, to steal our prayer time, to steal our zeal for God and excitement for God, because all of a sudden we know that if we put too much energy and effort, all of a sudden we feel drained and tired and we have nothing else to offer to God. Is there anyone that's married or been married or raised kids that know that this can absolutely happen? Amen. Yes. Put it this way. Home life will try to drain you to make sure that there's nothing left for God. Oh, it can really happen. And I'll take it one step further. This is exactly what is happening. And this is the subtle attack of the enemy. To use your home life against you so you have nothing left to bring to God. And that's what happens when we mismanage our home life and we let it spiral out of control. Now we're doing everything we possibly can to keep our spouse happy. We're doing everything we can to keep our kids happy. And next thing you know, we're so drained, we're tired, we're frustrated, and now there's no time to pray. There's no time to be zealous. All of a sudden, there's less time for church. All of a sudden, we just don't have as much energy for the things of God. Yeah. Hello, praise the Lord. It can absolutely happen. And I'll tell you what, in these days and the time that we're living in, it is one of the most subtle attacks of the enemy is to get people in their home life pulled in so many directions with their kids, so many directions in their marriage, so many directions with their interests, that all of a sudden when it comes time for God, they are tired, they're busted, they're disgusted, they drag themselves into church, they can't pray. If they do, they fall asleep 2 minutes, you know, into praying with, you know, with the Lord. Are you here tonight? I'm here to tell you that this mismanagement of home life, it is at an all-time high in Christian history. No, at no time in the last 2,000 years has there been more distractions and attempts to divide people from their zeal for God than there is in our lives right now. Amen. It's absolutely true. Yeah, if we're not careful, mismanaging the home life will attempt to put out our fire for God. If people are so tired, if they're so drained, if they have nothing left to offer God, people become exhausted, they have no rest, they have no peace. And if you have no rest or peace, then you are out of the will of God. There is nothing more dangerous for your body. There is nothing more dangerous for your health. There's nothing more dangerous, you know, to your marriage and to your home. If everything has got you so tired, so drained, you have no time for God. Hello? If you have no rest and peace, meaning if you don't ever have, you know, quiet evenings in the home, and you should have several of them a week, by the way. If you have no peace and rest, you're out of the will of God. God cannot, faith does not work until you are in rest. Do you know that? Rest is more than just getting enough sleep, though that certainly is a part of it. But if you are not rested, you know, if you're not resting, if you don't have quiet, I'm here to tell you, you're out of the will of God. Oh, but the good news is I'm here to tell you some things from the Word, what you can do. Amen. Here's what you do. Are you ready? We're just moving right through this here tonight. Praise God. I'm only going to keep you till 9 or 9:30 or 10 or something like that. Praise God. Just in time to get out for these big thunderstorms that they say are coming here tonight. They said they were supposed to come around 6 p.m., but I guess they moved back a little bit. Praise the Lord. All right. Here's what to do. And then I'm going to show you why it matters. Now, we're going to take our instructions right from this passage. All right, number one, are you ready? Since Paul said that the married people will have to keep their spouses happy, all right? Since he said that married people will have to keep their spouses happy, number one, if you are a married person, make it easy for your spouse to keep you happy. Did you hear what I said there? Make it easy for your spouse to keep you happy. All right, and what I mean by that, I'm not talking about you working on your spouse and hoping that your spouse changes. I'm talking about working on yourself so you become very easy for them to keep you happy. Do you know what I mean by that? If it is tough to keep you happy in your marriage, the problem is with you and not your spouse. Why are we so high maintenance? And I'm not looking at anybody. I always feel like when I say comments and stuff, especially on a Wednesday night when I'm preaching from the floor and I'm real close, and I'm looking at somebody and I, you know, and I lock eye contact right as I'm bringing home a point. You know, are you ready for a funny story? Some of you remember this. Some of you were here for this. But it was back, it would have been in June of 2013. It was the last time that Dr. Dufresne ever ministered here in this church before he went to heaven, which was that October of that same year. I was sitting right here in this seat. And of course, you know, all the people were there. Pastor Michael was sitting where Reverend Tony is sitting. And, you know, there's a bunch of ministers and, you know, the church was full and all this stuff. And Dr. Dufresne, he had this way of when he was preaching, whoever was right in front of him or whoever, he'd lock eyes onto somebody and he wouldn't move away from them for several moments. And he'd be making these points. And I remember being that person or also seeing other people be that person. They're like, oh my goodness, I'm not doing what he's talking about, you know. But one time, I was in this seat and he got preaching about the power of God and the Great Commission. And we're going to lay hands on the sick. We're going to raise the dead. We're going to cast devils. He said, we're going to cast devils out of homosexuals. And he came over and I'm sitting there and he always liked to demonstrate himself. And so he came over to me. He's like, we're going to take people and we're going to, you know, he grabbed a hold of me and he's shaking my head and he says, come out of them, you homosexual devil. And I'm just sitting there. I remember thinking the whole time as he's like moving me back and forth, I'm like, great. Great. Listen, praise the Lord. Let's move forward on this, shall we? I had a lot of issues before I knew Jesus and plenty of issues after I knew Jesus. But that wasn't one of them. Praise the Lord. And I'm not trying. Anyway, moving. Let's move forward now. But it was always so funny when he would lock onto somebody. So when I'm moving around and all of a sudden I'm looking at you and I lock eyes on you and I'm making a point, it doesn't mean I'm trying to, you know, cook you on that point or something like that, all right? But since Paul said that the married people will have to keep their spouses happy, let's make it easy for our spouses to keep us happy. Do you know what I mean by that? Let's lessen our demands on them to make us happy. I see, you know, married people all the time, not just in this church, but just in general. Praise the Lord. I will see married people all the time saying things to their spouse like, I want that. I want this. You know, I want to do this. You know, I want to do that. I want to have that. And it's starting to build pressure on their spouse to make that happen when it's something that's very unrealistic. All right. If we are always telling our spouse, like, you don't do enough, you're not good enough, you don't do enough for me and everything, nothing will drain our spouses more than trying to imply that they're not good enough or they don't make enough money or they don't do enough for us. You know, praise the Lord. Let's not drain our spouses by putting unrealistic demands on them, by implying that they don't do enough or they're not good enough. How about we start telling our spouses how glad we are to be with them? Amen. What if we just start telling our spouses, not saying that you don't, but what if we just start, you know, telling our spouses what a blessing they are in our lives? Amen. Praise God. I'm not saying this to boast. I'm not saying it to, to get recognition for anything. But I would dare say my wife and I, and of course, Kate, you can absolutely judge this. I would say just about every day or at least every other day, we are telling each other how grateful we are to be together with each other. Is that correct? I mean, I would say it's just about, I'd say at least 2 out of 3 days, you know, and on that third day, I don't know what's going on. No, I'm just saying though, we just make it a habit to say all the time, I'm just so glad to be married to you. I'm so grateful for you. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to sit up here and talk about myself, but it's real easy to, you know, to use my wife as an example. She makes it so easy. She doesn't put demands on me. She never tells me I'm not this enough or that enough. She never, you know, tries to, you know, pressure me like, I want to do this, I want to do that. Where's this? Why haven't you done this yet? There's never any pressure on me, you know, and I'm not trying to be cliche here, but there's never any nagging or pressure or, you know, insistence or demands. Folks, we better lessen our demands on our spouse. If we are told that, you know, married people in the Bible, we're told that married people will have to keep their spouses happy the best they can. Let's work on ourselves to make sure that it's easy for our spouse to keep us happy. Amen. My wife makes it so easy to be happy in our marriage, you know, and I'm going to work on the other side of it now. Praise the Lord. You know, let's make sure, men and ladies, that we do our part in the home. Let's make it easy around the house. You know, boy, here we go. I could tell you what, the modernists or the, you know, the non-traditionalists would get really upset at me saying something like this. But I'll tell you what, I'll use my wife as an example. You know, I mean, the house is always in order. Doesn't mean that it doesn't come out of order once in a while. But, you know, the house is always in order. You know, the house is always clean. You know, there's so much effort in the house. I make sure that anything that is my responsibility, you know, and I'm just talking about natural things. Things like, you know, garbage. You know, if there's something I can fix, I will, but you don't want me. You typically like, no, I can fix a car sometimes, but you don't want me hanging a picture in your house, you know? And I made sure I was bad at it because I can't stand doing that stuff. I'm just joking around. I'm kind of defeating my point there. Praise the Lord. But no, just making sure that we can, you know, do our part, you know, in the home. You know, it's easy. My wife, here's another one I put down. You know, again, I'd like to believe that a lot of these things would apply to me as well, but I'm just going to boast on my wife. You know this awesome thing about my wife? She's not moody. She is not moody. And you know what? It makes it easy in the marriage. When somebody is moody and you never know which one you're going to get. Do you know what moodiness is? When they're one person one minute and then they're someone totally different either the next day or even an hour later or something like that. My wife is never like that. She meditates in the Word of God. She makes sure that she's not like that. I'd like to believe that I do the same thing. I think her grade is a little better than mine. I think it's easier for me to be married to her than it is for her to be married to me. I believe that. I just personally do. She's over there, you know, saying no, but she's just so sweet. See what I mean? She's even making it easy when I say stuff like that. Praise the Lord. And so make it easy for your spouse to keep you happy, meaning you don't have demands. You know, you're responsible around the house. You're not doing things that create, you know, confrontation in the home and friction in the home. Don't be moody. Don't be one person one day and a different person the next day. Amen. Don't let your temper flare and get mad and insist that they do certain things. No doubt, closeness breeds conflict. There will always be things that people do that annoy us or whatever. But trust me, it's not worth losing your cool about those things. Amen. Praise God. Let's do our part around the home without having to be reminded. Amen. If you know you can do something in the house that will help keep peace, do it. If there's, you know, chores, if there's some kind of responsibility, if there's some kind of cleaning, if there's some kind of maintenance, if there's something that you could just not do, my wife, the only request she seems to have around the home is please do not walk on the carpet with my shoes on. All right? And sometimes, like, I have this idea that dress shoes don't count. Dress shoes don't count. I mean, I get it with the boots or if I've been, you know, in the driveway or something with my gym shoes on or something like that. But if I've been in the house of God and I've been in my dress shoes, if I come in the house, I think I still can get to walk on the carpet. But no, she doesn't want that. And so I know that she doesn't like that. No, she never loses her cool about it or flips out about it. But if I know that there's something simple that I can do just to keep that friction down, do it. Because I personally think I'm a shoes on guy. Like, I'm a shoes on guy. I know there's a lot of houses that they're like, as soon as you step in the door, the shoes off. I would wear shoes around every room in the house all day long. Is there anybody with me on that? All right, we got a few. I think we're in the minority. Who is a shoes off person in the house no matter what? Oh, see, you're the responsible. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But if you know your spouse doesn't like something, then just stay away from it. Make it easy for your spouse to keep you happy. Do you know what I mean by that? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be moody. Don't be temperamental. You know, don't do things that, you know, upset your spouse. I mean, these are just simple things. But if you got to keep your spouse happy, just make it easy for them to keep you happy. Don't work on them. Work on yourself. Amen. Here's the second thing we can do. Say, well, Pastor, Why am I talking about these things? Because if there's an ease between you and your spouse, then you are spending less energy keeping your spouse happy and therefore less likely to drain your zeal for God. See, a lot of Christian marriages struggle. There's fighting, there's contention. They're doing things that upset their spouse. They know they're doing things that upset their spouse. They seek leverage against their spouse. If their spouse does something wrong, they jump on that opportunity to accuse them or blame them because it feels like it empowers them to go after them. All that is just draining your zeal for God. All of it is just energy that you're wasting when you could be having peace and rest. The reason why so many Christians are so tired and drained in their relationship with God is because they spend it everywhere else. A lot of times they're getting distracted or getting moody or temperamental or confrontational in their marriage. Amen? These things will make sure you have peace and rest. You'll have something left over to make sure that you bring to God. Does that make sense? All right, here's the second thing we can do when we learn from this passage. Since Paul said that married home life will try to take you in divergent directions. Don't you love how the Amplified says that? What does divergent directions mean? It means every which way. Every which way. Your home life will try to take you every which way. And we're not supposed to go all those ways. All right? But since Paul said that, married life and home life will try to take you in divergent directions, here's the second thing we do. Two, stop letting your home life pull you in so many directions. Amen. You know, I see, and I'm going to go back on this. Folks, what I'm about to say, it upsets a lot of people. People get ticked at me, and I've had people leave the church because of what I'm about to say. But you know what? It's true. It is absolutely true, and I'm not taking it back. Stop letting your home life pull you in so many directions. The kids want to play every sport. Is it wrong for kids to play sports? No. But when we let them play every sport, participate in every activity, parents are trying to keep their kids happy. They're trying to fulfill everything the children want to do. Or the parents themselves are trying to, you know, keep a bunch of social friendships. They're doing all these things during the evenings. They're seeking hangouts. And all of a sudden, what happens between all this stuff, the family is never together, home and quiet in the house together. All of a sudden, every night, someone is going somewhere. All of a sudden, every night, there's a sport, there's an activity, there's, you know, one parent is taking one child this way, the other parent is taking the other child to this other activity. All of a sudden, it's sports in front of church. Folks, I'm here to tell you. Oh, here we go. Here's the thing that I specifically have said that has literally caused people to leave this church. Are you ready? If you can up and go to sports and take your kids, it's not just sports, by the way. I have, you know, kids that play sports. They just don't play, they play one. They're not allowed to play every. But if we can just say, well, it's church night or church Sunday or whatever. Well, we've got this sport or this activity. Well, we gotta take the kids to that activity. If that is where your heart is, you should do some serious checking up on yourself. That is a symptom of a much bigger problem. I am not talking about a random school function, okay? I'm talking about if we have this mentality and we have this, you know, mindset where it's like it comes down to, you know, sports versus church. How is that even a competition in your mind? How is it? And I know this sounds old-fashioned and boy, that's tough preaching and all that stuff. I'm sticking to it. I was raised by men of God that when it was church time, God comes first. And nobody cared about the crying or the whining of who didn't get what they exactly wanted. Amen. But there's going to be so many different opportunities for, it's, you know, kids' activities, even the hobbies of the parents, all this stuff to try to pull us in all these different directions. And next thing you know, the family is never by themselves in the home, having a dinner together, yeah, having time together. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Parents are out trying to buy everything they can to keep their kids happy. They're trying to, you know, afford all the sports equipment or whatever is necessary for whatever activity their kids are involved with. And again, multiple activities. You know, I'm not against activities. I'm not against your child playing a sport. I'm against putting anything in front of the house of God. Amen. Are you here tonight? And I'll tell you what, there's people that do not want to hear that. And I, like I've said, I've had people that have just downright, you know, called me, you know, on the carpet about that. Say, well, now, are you ready for the thing that I've heard the most? they'll say, I just don't want my kid resenting church. I don't want them to resent church. I don't want them to think that, well, church is the reason why they couldn't go to that game tonight. Folks, anyone that says that is under the influence of a seducing spirit. Absolutely. The devil has deceived someone to believe that a child will, you know, should go to sports over the things of God because you don't want your child to resent the house of God. No. I'm here to tell you that is so beyond backwards. That is deception to the absolute hilt. If your child grows up to resent the house of God, it is the parents' fault, period. Woo! I'm just going to lay it on the line thick like that. If your child resents the house of God, there's only one reason why, and that's because the parents did not communicate to their children enough that all the blessings that in your life flow from obeying God. From the time our boys were old enough to understand English, we have told them anything we have good in our life is because we obey God. And any time, you know, there comes a time when something you want to do is in competition with church, we're in church. Amen. I stayed in church and I turned out good. Right, Reverend Vanessa? She said that one day, and that is absolutely true. Stay in church and you'll turn out good. Amen. And people get really upset at a hard stance like that. But I want my children, I want my boys to grow up into men that will be, you know, shining lights in their generation, that they will teach their kids from day one. We have all blessings in our life only because we put God and His house above anything else that we desire. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so stop letting your home life pull you in so many directions. The Holy Ghost said to me many of you were here. The Lord said to me, the Bible says to train up a child in the way it should go. All right. But the Holy Ghost said to me, but in this generation, children are training the parents. Parents are so scared to let down their child, you know, and actually, require something out of them that they don't want to do. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you here tonight? Oh, see, all those different directions, it's draining you. Oh, and I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crew here. But all those different directions are stealing your zeal for God. All of a sudden, you have all the time in the world to go to this activity, and this hangout, and this social, and these friends, and this sport, and this, that. But then you have nothing to offer to God. Are you here? Mm-hmm. All those divergent directions are killing and draining your zeal for God. It's not just kids' activities. It can be, you know, adults and their hobbies. It could be their business, you know. It could be a kid's obsession with video games. Praise the Lord. There's going to have to be some restrictions somewhere. Glory to God. I'm just saying the home life shouldn't be pulled in so many directions. Do you have quiet nights in the home? The family together. I mean, our generations now, they know nothing of sitting down together. Again, I'm going to boast on my wife. Most nights of the week, we sit down together with a home-cooked meal. We pray at the table. All screens are off, and we talk to each other. Amen. I know it sounds like the Waltons. I know it sounds like Little House on the Prairie, you know, but we need it. We need it. Praise the Lord. And then thirdly, we see in this passage, well, since Paul said that there would be divisions and distractions, number three, these are all the master of the obvious, aren't they? Number three, make sure that there are less distractions. Parents, here is your assignment. Simplify. Simplify. Find the things in the home that are unnecessary and remove them. Amen. Again, you know, can a kid play sports? Yes. Here's just my recommendation. You know, I tell my boys, pick one thing. Pick one thing you want to do. If it's an instrument, fine, then go at that. Meaning if you want to play an instrument if the school had a band or whatever, or if that's what you want to do, or if it's a sport, pick one. Pick one thing that you want to, give yourself to and enjoy, that's fine. But I'm not, there's not going to be a new activity every new sport season. Boy, that went over well. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Since Paul said there would be divisions and distractions coming from the home life, make sure that there's less distractions. Simplify. Cut things out of your home life that aren't necessary. Why does it matter? Because again, if we're spending all of our energy doing all these things, we will have nothing left to offer to God. So many Christian families are drained, they're tired, they're exhausted, they don't have rest, they don't have peace. And if you don't have rest and peace, you are out of God's will. Do you understand that? If you don't have rest, if you don't have peace, you are out of God's will in your life. Why does all this matter? I want to show you something that very seldom, I don't know as if I've ever heard anybody explain this. And I'm not trying to be radical or controversial. It's actually just, it's pretty clear in the scripture. And I'll explain this passage of scripture and why it seems very difficult to understand. Go to 1 Corinthians. You're right there in chapter 7. Back it up now to verse 26. We'll get ready to finish out with this passage right here. 1 Corinthians 7, we read verse 32 down to verse 35. But now we're going to back up a few verses. And you're going to see some verses that have confused so many Christians because they don't understand the context that Paul's speaking. Look what he says here. Go back to verse 26. I'm reading out of the Amplified again. Paul says this. He says, I think then, because of the impending distress, very interesting. In the King James Bible, in verse 26, Paul says, I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress. Now, that's probably something we've read right over and we never understood what Paul's even talking about. And then watch what he says here. He says, I think then because of the impending distress that is even now setting in, it is well expedient, profitable, and wholesome for a person to remain as he or she is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. That's interesting. Again, these verses almost sound like Paul's got something really against marriage here. Have you ever read this passage and be like, what? Yeah. I'll be honest, as a pastor, I've read these verses before. I'm like, wait a minute here. Am I supposed to tell young unmarried men not to seek a wife? Of course not. Marriage is a blessing. Marriage is an institution of God. But why did Paul say this? Look at verse 28. He says, but if you marry, you do not sin in doing so. And if a virgin, that means a young, unmarried woman, marries, she does not sin in doing so. Yet those who marry will have physical and earthly troubles, and I'd like to spare you from that. Huh? I noticed when I wrote a little mini book on marriage, I left that scripture out. Paul, what do you mean? The Holy Ghost is inspiring this in Paul. And now I almost feel like I've disobeyed God for being married for 21 years. He says, those who marry will have physical and earthly troubles, and I want to spare you of that. Whoa. What in the world? I mean, brethren, the appointed time has been winding down and it has grown very short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as if they had none. Boy, you could really turn that into some trouble. Yeah, you could really turn that. Well, the Bible says those that have wives just act like you don't have one. Yeah, take that scripture out of context. Some married Christian guy is like, oh, I was just doing what the Bible said. I was just acting like I wasn't married. No, That'll get you in trouble. That could send you to hell acting like that. Right? Right. Brethren, the appointed time is winding down. It's grown so short, let those who have wives be as though they have none. And those who weep and mourn as though they were not weeping and mourning. And those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. And those who buy as those who did not possess anything. Oh my goodness. When we read this passage, it sounds like he says the time is winding down. It is so short. Wow, this is an intense passage. Now, when we see that he says the time is winding down, we start to think, well, he must be talking about the coming of Christ. Well, obviously, when Paul wrote this, the coming of Christ was, now we know, at least more than 2,000 years, you know, in the making. So he's not talking about the coming of Christ. Wow. And let's read verse 31. And those who deal with this world, overusing the enjoyments of this life as though they were not absorbed by it and as if they had no dealings with it, for the outward form of this world, the present world order, is passing away. What is he talking about? Go back to verse 26. And now I'm going to tell you why all this matters. Why does it matter that we're not distracted in our homes or we mismanage our home life? Remember verse 26? Remember how you could real easily pass over this verse? He says, I think then, because of the impending distress, I love how the Amplified points it out, that is even now setting in. What is Paul talking about there? He says, because of the impending distress. Folks, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 26 is a prophecy. It is a prophecy of the impending persecution of the Christians under the Caesar Nero. It had just started. It was getting more and more prevalent as Paul was writing 1 Corinthians right around the 5th or 6th decade of the first century. See, folks, we have to understand when interpreting the Bible, we have to know that the Bible was also written within the historical context of that day. Paul was not talking to the Corinthians as the time was winding down because Christ is coming back. He was talking to them about the impending persecution that the spiritual environment in their world was getting so intense, so filled with persecution. Corinth was a city right smack dab in the middle of the Roman Empire, and those Christians were going to be persecuted mercilessly under the leadership of Nero. And that's why the Amplified uses that term, that is now setting in. Because at the time of the writing of 1 Corinthians, those things were just starting. And Paul probably didn't even realize naturally how he was prophesying when he said this impending distress that was going to now come upon the Christians. See, now this is what Paul's talking about. Paul is saying that their society, the spiritual environment and the atmosphere of their society was going to get so dark, so intense, so full of persecution and death that it is not a good time to start a family. Do you see what he's talking about here? He said, if you don't have a wife, it's probably not the time to go get one because you are going to be running for your lives, hiding from those that are trying to kill you. And he says, if you go out right now and you seek to be married, you're going to take on responsibility of the heartache of watching the persecutions coming against you and your new bride. Do you understand what we're talking about here? Say, Pastor, why are you bringing this up? I'm going to tell you right now why this matters. Paul was telling them, he was saying, don't let your natural home life drain you so much that you don't know what's going on in the spiritual environment of the society that you live in, because now you're going to be blind to it. Are you getting a hold of this? I know a lot of times people don't understand. What was he talking about there? Paul wasn't telling people that marriage was bad. He was telling them, if you're a young man and you run out and take a wife, you're going to come under persecution where you may watch your brand new wife die. Do you understand this? He's saying, listen, now is not the time to start a family. He said, do you realize what is taking place in the world around you? It is getting so dark. The spiritual atmosphere is getting so dark that if you are consumed with the distraction of natural home life, you will not have the spiritual fortitude to make it through this era that you're going through. Folks, this is why I am preaching this here tonight. Because the more we see families that are distracted, pulled in all these different directions, that they can just casually choose, you know, some meaningless activity over the things of God, they're going to be spiritually blind for the days that you and I live in. We now are in these days. Folks, when I say this, I'm not prophesying doom and gloom. There's something big coming. You'd have to be a spiritual bump on the log not to pick it up. There is something very big coming. It could be the rapture itself, for all we know. I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying I've been telling my wife the last several years, something big's coming. Something big is coming. And if the church that is on the earth right now is so distracted and pulled, you know, by every little activity, if they're so drained and have nothing to offer to God, we're not going to have what it takes to handle the spiritual atmosphere in these last days. This was the context that Paul was writing to them. He said, you can't be divided in your interests. You can't be distracted, you know, fighting and quarreling amongst, you know, each other as married people. You can't let all the needs and all the desires of your children pull you in so many directions that now you don't have anything to offer God. Because you'll become spiritually blind. You won't see the generation that you're living in. And God is going to need people who are sensitive to Him. And if we mismanage our home life, if we mismanage our marriage, if we're distracted by all these meaningless things, God's going to call on us and we are not going to be able to answer. This is why it matters. And see, and Paul was making this point, folks. If that was going on in the first century of Christians, I'm not saying anybody's coming to take your head off. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the United States of America is about to collapse. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom. I'm just trying to preach the seriousness of the hour in which we live. And if, it, again, some activities and all that, that's fun and great and what a blessing. Go and, you know, watch your kid. I love going to Timothy's basketball games. You know, and watching him play, that's fine. But I told him, I said, pick a sport. If that's your game, then that's your game. But it ain't going to be basketball and then soccer and volleyball and whatever other sports are available. You know, pick one. Because we as a family are not going to be taken in so many directions where all of a sudden we're so exhausted, I can't even seek God. Are you here tonight? See, that was the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you study it out, if you can look at history and what Paul was talking about, he was talking about Nero started to literally just command the death of Christians. And Paul said, he was saying those things so that Christians would give an undivided attention to God so they could make it through that stuff. Amen. And so the reason why I tell you these things, to make sure that you're not pulled in all these different directions and making it easier on your spouse, because if your home life is light and burden-free, you will have more rest, more peace, more zeal for God. Amen. And you won't come into church dragging, or you won't be tempted to miss church, or you won't be, you know, so drained when you go to pray. Or, you know, you won't be so drained when you go to study the word. Amen? Did you get something out of this here tonight? Praise God. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just worship the Lord here for a few moments. Father God, we just praise you and worship you. Lord, we see that the heart of Paul's writing by the Holy Ghost was making sure that their natural life did not distract them from the hour that they were living in. Lord, I've seen this. We've all seen it. We've lived in it. But Lord, as a pastor, I've seen so many families chasing so many directions, and they're unprepared for what lies ahead. And Lord, I don't care if, you know, I get branded a radical or something for saying these things. Father, I believe that putting you first at every opportunity is the highest and best. Lord, yes, we know that there's times we take vacations and there's you know, times that, you know, things, something might just come up, some random thing to spend time with family or whatever. But Lord, your house is first, and we love you and praise you. And Father, we want to make it easy on our spouses to keep us happy, meaning we lessen our demands. We're not moody and temperamental. We don't look to pick a fight or be disagreeable about everything. Father, we won't be pulled in so many directions. And Lord, we know, we understand as parents, it is our job, it is our responsibility from day one to teach our children that the only reason we have anything good in our lives is because we obey you and that we're found in the house of the Lord from day one. And Father, we just thank you that we can raise our children not to resent the house of God, but to see it as the focus or the focal point of blessing in their lives. And Lord, we just glorify you tonight. We praise you here tonight. Come on, church, let's just worship him. Father, you are holy and you are good. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We bless you. We bless you. And Lord, we know that we're living in a serious time. And Lord, we need to be able to be spiritually sensitive and discern these things that are taking place right around us. Lord, this city, this region needs believers that are sensitive and not so distracted by everything. Lord, we refuse to allow our home life, which is such a blessing, our marriage, our children, we refuse to allow the enemy to use our home life against us and try to distract us with it. What a subtle thing it is, how he would try to tempt us to be distracted in our homes. Father, we bless you. We glorify you. You are holy, Lord God. 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 Father, we know that what Paul was saying to the Corinthians, it wasn't a radical stance on marriage. It wasn't him saying that marriage was bad or a negative thing. It was Paul, by the Holy Ghost, giving those people an idea of what was coming and how to be prepared and not being distracted. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord God. 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 Father, I pray for each one here that your blessing would be upon them. That, Lord, that all of our eyes would be open to the day and the hour that we live in. Father, that we would see and have a mentality of course, knowing and seeing the seriousness of the hour. But, Father, also a mentality just knowing that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Lord, we know that these are dark days on the earth, but these are bright days for the church, bright days for us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, when the world sees and all the darkness and all this, well, we're tailor-made as overcomers. We are more than conquerors because we are loved by you, Father. We bless you tonight. Worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. We just bless you. We bless you. Praise God. 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 Praise you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Lord, we're going to get ready to receive our offering here tonight. And we just thank you for the local church. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for each family, Lord, in this church, that the eyes of their understanding being enlightened, that they will know the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you that as we provide for your house, you provide for ours. Lord, we just say every time we sow good seed into good ground, harvest is imminent. Father, you meet and supply all of our needs by your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you. You're our provider. You're our Savior, our healer, our provider, and our protector. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. Simplify. Simplify. Sit down as a married couple and see what things have crept in that are taking you in directions that you don't need to go. Cut the unnecessary things out. Find more rest. Find more peace. Find more rest. Find more peace. For without it, you cannot be in the will of God. So Lord, we just praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Did you get some help out of this here tonight? Praise the Lord. It'll change our lives. Glory to God. Well, we'll just let the offering go around here, and we'll be dismissed. So appreciate all you coming out on a Wednesday night. Also, for those that get together on Wednesday afternoon and pray. And hey, just a quick reminder, don't forget, we're taking our fundraising to the end of this month, and then we'll be done. Hey, we've already gone over our goal. We're closing in on that 60,000 mark. Let's just go over that. And also, too, if you're looking for a place to serve, you know, in the ministry, folks, take a look at Jamestown City Revival, our department here. There's so many opportunities to serve. Also, our youth groups are going to be needing people to serve in them. So, just something to pray about. Folks, serve in the house of God. You know, I know Pastor Brad, he brings up that scripture. I believe it's in Psalm 84. Is that where it is, Pastor Brad? Psalm 84, when David said, I'd rather be a greeter at the door of God, you know, than be anywhere else. I mean, David just said, I'd rather do the smallest, most, you know, perceived smallest thing in the house of God than do anything anywhere else. Let's have that heart. Amen. Amen. Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.